Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Okay, well, fate, luck, chance, they're words we commonly use. We talk about having a lucky break, bumping into someone by chance, or whether we've been the victim of some unfortunate fate. But just imagine that God is actually involved somehow in everything that happens, in world events, in nature, and even in our individual circumstances and decisions. Well, that's the message of Jerry Bridges, the renowned author and Bible teacher who's been in Australia recently, and he's joining us on Open House. It's nice to welcome you to Australia and welcome you to Open House, Jerry.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
I hope the visit's been good for you so far.
It has.
Fantastic. Well, I did want to explore this whole issue of God being in control, because you've written books on this, you've spoken a lot about it. Is God in control of every little thing in the world?
Yes, he is. And I think the best statement in support of that comes from the mouth of Jesus himself, as it is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, where Jesus says that are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them can fall to the ground apart from your Father's will. So Jesus takes a trivial event, the fate of a almost worthless or at least a very inexpensive bird, and says that God is in control of the destiny of that bird.
You would have no place for words like fate, luck, or chance in life?
Yes, absolutely not. I have no place. I do not believe that the Bible has any place for that. That rather that if we take the words of Jesus at face value, then we'd have to say the most trivial events, trivial circumstances in this world are under God's sovereign control.
And so when you say sovereign, you mean his total and utter control?
Yes, his total absolute power to control all of the events in his universe.
So nothing happens by chance. There are no such thing as coincidences.
That's correct. They may appear to us to be coincidences, but they are orchestrated by the sovereign hand of God.
Mm. Okay, you personally, when did you come alive to this this idea?
Well, it was back in the 1980s because I was facing some issues in my own life. I had experienced some rather difficult, adverse circumstances, and I had to come to grips with whether or not God was in control of those circumstances, whether or not I was a victim of just mindless circumstances, or even worse yet, the malicious acts of other people, or whether God was in control of both the impersonal circumstances and even the acts of other people. I went through the Bible, all the way through the Bible, actually over a period of several years, as I was just reading the Bible for other, just for my own personal growth, you might say, as I would come across these explicit statements of God's sovereign authority, I would note those. And in fact, let me just read to you one from the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of the Babylonian Empire, and at that time was the most powerful individual in the world. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar said after God had humbled him. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he, that is God, does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? So I think that Nebuchadnezzar is speaking there of what we would call the macro events, the big events on the world political scene and this kind of thing. And by contrast, Jesus talks about the destiny of a sparrow. And so from the greatest macro events to the most trivial events, God is in control.
Okay. Now, what do you think we miss out if we forget that God is in total control of everything? How do you think our lives are in some way lacking something if we kind of lose hold of that idea?
Well, we become subject to frustration and anxiety. If I do not believe that God is in control, then I can become anxious about the way certain circumstances are going to turn out, or I can become frustrated when I see that circumstances are not turning out as I desired.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Jerry Bridges, who's an author and Bible teacher, and we're talking about this issue of God being in control of everything, the macro and even the micro details of our lives. Now, Jerry, does that mean that God is the cause of all things?
No. The Scripture teaches that God cannot be tempted with sin, nor does he tempt anyone to sin. So God never causes a person to sin. Our sinful actions are the result of our own inner disposition, our own inclination to look out for ourselves and to be number one and these kinds of things. But the Scripture does indicate that God allows us to sin, but he never allows our sin to be beyond his control. I think one of the most classic illustrations of that was in the story of Joseph back in the book of Genesis. His jealous brothers sold Joseph into slavery, and he ended up in prison. But eventually, as you know, he became the prime minister of Egypt. And he could say to his brothers later, when they were really subject to him, "You intended evil against me, but God intended good." Mm. And so the same act, there's no question that their brother's action was very malicious and very sinful, and they intended evil, but God intended to use their evil deeds to accomplish good.
Mm. Because that's a big one for us, isn't it? Because if we say that God is actually in control of everything, well, is he in control of the war in Iraq? Is he in control of a little child being diagnosed with cancer? All of those kinds of things. It's very easy for us to say that God's in control of the good things or the chance meeting of two friends and it's been a wonderful reunion. But the big, ugly events of life, that's where it starts to get a little bit tricky, doesn't it?
Well, yes. And the Bible is very clear on that. It says it's not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and bad things come. Going back to the destiny of the sparrow, when Jesus said, "A sparrow cannot fall to the ground apart from your Father's will," we know that sparrows do fall to the ground. We know that supposedly bad things happen, and we don't always have an explanation for why God allows these things to happen, but we know that he's in control. Not only is he sovereign, but we also have to realize that he's good.
Mm. I look back at some of the most difficult times that I've faced, and somehow God has turned them around to be the most amazing growth times that I've ever had. I don't think he was causing those bad things to happen to me, but I know that he was certainly, in the end, he was in control and bringing something beautiful out of them.
Yes. I often refer to the bad times as a trip to the workout gym. You know, when we go to the gym and work out, our muscles ache and they complain, so to speak. If they had voices, they would complain. Because we're stretching them. But we're doing that, in fact, we're actually breaking down the muscle tissue in order that when it comes back, it comes back stronger. And that's the way God does. He works out our faith, our trust in him, so that through these bad circumstances, so that our faith will grow.
If you were to bring it down to one or two features, Jerry, what characteristics of God do you think we are most in danger of forgetting these days?
Well, without a doubt, the characteristic or the attribute of God that we're most in danger of forgetting is his holiness. And his holiness refers to the fact that God is, first of all, separate from his creation, transcendent above his creation. But it also speaks of his moral perfection. I think involved in this holiness is God's absolute hatred of sin. In the Old Testament, time and time again, God uses very strong language, his anger, his fury, his wrath being poured out on people because of their sin. And that's the attribute of God that we're most prone to overlook.
How do you think we can regain that sense of, I guess, almost fear of God or awe of God? And I want you to clarify what fearing God really means, because I think a lot of us labor under the kind of a sense of God as a dictatorial, evil policeman out to get us every time we put a step wrong. What is the fear of God? What is the awe of God, and how can we regain it?
Well, the fear, I think the best explanation, the best synonym for the fear of God is the word awe, or reverential awe. We gaze at in amazement. For example, back in the Midwest in America, we have tornadoes. And as they come through, they just lift up whole houses and barns and huge tanker trucks and these things and just hurl them up in the air. And to see one of those is an awesome spectacle. In other words, we're seeing raw power. We see just one expression of his raw power. But God does not use his raw power vindictively, but he uses his power for his own glory and for the good of those who trust in him. When you look at God, you see God's power, but you also see his love, that in his love he sent his Son, Jesus, to become one of us, to become a human being, to live and to die in our place. We see not only God's power, God's holiness, his hatred of sin, but we also see his amazing love that he would send his Son to suffer in our place because of our sin.
Which becomes the antidote to the other aspect you were saying there, God's intense anger at our rebellion, our lust and all of those things that sin actually describes, that all of that was actually laid on Jesus' shoulders.
That's correct, yes. And this is the amazing thing. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? I think that was Charles Wesley's hymn. It is an absolutely amazing thing that the Creator God, who sustains us moment by his power, who keeps all the universe in existence, that he should condescend not only to send his Son to die in our place, but to send his Son when we were in a state of rebellion against him.
Well, Jerry, thank you for joining us on an open house tonight, and it's been good to open our eyes to the very nature of God.
Well, thank you. It's been good to be with you.
Yeah, that's author and Bible teacher Jerry Bridges. Got so many books out. Probably one of the most well-known of his is called The Pursuit of Holiness, but others are called Transforming Grace, The Practice of Godliness, and Is God Really in Control?
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.